The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 153. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Look at me. I'm in New York. Yeah.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
I'm in Texas.
And Adam Vale.
I'm in space.
Damn, son, that voice, that's that fucking shit I was doing the other time, man. That fucking Dr. Claw shit, you know?
I like chicken.
You know, by the way, I didn't have my phone on vibrate, so I didn't see the fucking, I didn't see it go when we went live and shit. So Manny, what is up with the surroundings? Are you back in New York City?
Yes, I'm back in New York. If you notice, the background here is a little bit different. It's my mom's place, hanging here with my buddy, Mark. Yeah. Looking at an old TV.
But by the way, you know, I'm obviously asking you a very stupid question since I hung out with you a good chunk of the day, you know.
Yo, is your drum set still there?
No drum set here anymore. Long ago.
Let me bring up the show. Okay, so tonight we're doing this a little bit later and a day early because a day early, an hour late. Because of New York Comic Con, so we're probably just going to do the show for an hour, but, you know, maybe an hour and a half, because, man, so today decided, hey, let's throw a bunch of crazy shit at these guys, you know? But, yeah, let's do that right now, man. Okay, so we got to get into this whole Cuphead situation, right? Very interesting. So the game came out on Friday, right? Reviews have gone up, a couple of think pieces, and, you know, not all gaming journalists, but a good chunk of them, I would say maybe half, we're writing that the game is too hard and that it's actually like being exclusive or whatever. It's like excluding people and stuff that want to just check out the art and all that. Obviously, that led to fans shitting on the gaming journalists saying you guys don't know how to play games, blah, 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 all this other shit, which then led to the gaming journalists writing hit pieces on the fans saying they're a bunch of toxic assholes. You know, so we're in this weird kind of loop. I'm not going to say Gamergate level, but a little smite taste of that shit. And it's pretty interesting, you know. I got my thoughts on it. And I will say that I probably get a little bit more into this later because my whole, like, view on fandom has changed radically since the bullshit I had to go through last week. If we had done this segment 2 weeks ago, I would probably be reacting very differently than I will tonight. But let's get the fellas in here first, man. Manny, what are your thoughts about all this nonsense?
You know, I feel like people, you know, this is on the journalist side. I feel like people don't seem to understand that there are different types of games and different types of difficulty. So why can't there be a hard game that people have to get better at in order to see all of? Why does it have to be that we have to get to this point where, you know, every game has to be acceptable to everybody? I'm sorry, but you know what? You get good at the game, you get further in the game. There wasn't anything like this during Super Mario Brothers. They didn't say, oh, well, Super Mario Brothers is too hard, so you have to make an easier version for everybody else to play. That's silly.
Yeah, and I've seen guys saying that, like, oh, you know, gaming is the only form of entertainment where you actually need to, like, complete challenges in order to progress. Like, you don't need to do that for books or movies, blah, blah. And I say, yeah, because it's a game. That's what games are for. Go back in history. We're not just talking about video games. We're talking about games in general. What are games for? Test you in some way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, then the other thing, it's like, why, what it's like saying to an author that they should use smaller words because the audience, it's not, you know, most of the audience won't understand what the book is about. That's silly.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's like, hey, listen, that book you wrote, a little too complicated. Can you dumb it down a little bit? As a matter of fact, you got too many pages, you know, a lot of people can't read all that shit. Bring it down to 200.
Where the pitches, man? Where the pitches?
You know? So that's what I'm saying. It's kind of stupid. By the way, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I got to give props to... I can't even say it. I got to give props to Ben Kuchera. Because he actually wrote an even-handed account of this. He said, hey, listen, if developers... Hey, what's going on, Brett? I'll wait for him to say hi. Hey, there you are, friend.
Hey, Brett.
Let me just quickly catch you up. So we're on the main topic, and it's basically, again, just quickly, basically Cuphead came out, journalists, you know, not all of them, like about maybe half of them wrote about how the game is hard and how they maybe should have had an easier difficulty. This led to fans shitting on gaming journalists, which also led to gaming journalists writing hit pieces on fans. So we're in this weird kind of...
God damn, are we doing a Gamergate thing again?
It tastes a little familiar. That's all. I'm not saying it's Gamergate, but this, I tasted this before. You know, so anyway, so I thought I was gonna.
This has a sassant of Gamergate to it.
Yeah, exactly. Some Goya Gamergate. I don't know, but anyway, so basically, he was writing about how, and again, I still can't believe I'm giving Ben Kuchera praise. You know, I don't like that guy, but he basically said, like, okay, basically, you know, there is merit to saying, hey, some people can't enjoy this, but at the same time, if that's what the developer intended, you know, for you to experience that experience, you shouldn't be complaining either. You know, they intended it to be that difficult. Go ahead.
So let me flip that on its head and just make sure that I'm understanding this right. So when somebody comes out and says, this game isn't enjoyable to everybody, my immediate response would be, should it be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what you're advocating is a homogenized experience that is applicable to all audiences and, for the most part, no single player can really enjoy.
Yeah,
because that's what a homogenized experience is.
You're right about that. The example Manny gave before you showed up was perfect. Basically saying that's like going to an author. Hey, listen, man, those words you're using are kind of big. You know, not everybody can read those. And 1,000 pages, that's a little too much. Can you bring it down to 200? That's what you're basically asking, dumbing down the experience. You know, it's like if the developer wants like an extra hardcore type of experience, why not? You know, like, you know, basically one of the arguments is like every game should be accessible to every person. Why, like you asked, Brett, why does every movie need to be accessible to everybody? Does every book need to be accessible to everybody? No, that's not the way this shit works. You know,
it's funny whenever that phenomenon actually pops up in real life. Let me ask you a question. Every time you have a group of people, like a company function or something like that, where you don't want to single anybody out because of dietary shit, and you order pizza, what kind of fucking pizza do you order?
Oh, you mean that vegan bullshit with no?
No, you order pepperoni pizza and cheese pizza.
Oh yeah, the both. Yeah. Pizzas,
you know, everybody's gonna eat, but nobody really wants. Like, it's nobody's favorite pizza. I mean, some people do love pepperoni. I'm one of those people up there. I like
pepperoni. Hey, Manny, what pizza do we constantly get? Half pepperoni, half cheese. We always get that. Because that's our favorite.
Yeah. And see, for some people, they really like that. Let me use ice cream as another example. If you had to give everybody in the world a cup of ice cream.
Vanilla.
Yep, you already said it.
Vanilla. That's it. Okay, everybody gets vanilla.
Who gets really excited over vanilla ice cream?
I do, actually. Vanilla is my favorite. Just being honest. Brett,
stop,
I'm so generic as
the one guy. My point, Tony.
Hey, sorry, but you're bringing up shit that I like. But your point is taken. Most people like flavor and shit, you know?
Well, it's everybody likes vanilla ice cream, but it's rarely somebody's favorite ice cream. Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah, man. But it's bullshit. But at the same time, like I was saying earlier, like my view on this is a little different this week than it would have been last week. Last week, I went, yeah, you motherfuckers got to learn this game. Fuck that shit. Now I'm like, listen, you motherfuckers attacking these guys need to get a fucking life. It's like, this is the most important thing out there. No, play your Cuphead and enjoy it. And I asked this on Twitter. I got a little bit of heat of this, but it's true. I want to know how many of these guys that are calling out gaming journalists for having a hard time with Cuphead, how many of you motherfuckers beat the game? Let me see those achievements. That's all I'm saying. You know, you can't be talking all this shit unless you beat the game. If you beat the game, go fucking ham. Go nuts. You know, but
I see both sides of it. Oh, dude, you know how much of this shit came out around the time Dark Souls hit peak popularity?
Yeah.
I mean, Chris will fucking back me up on this. Everybody was talking about, like, all art, like hip hop jumped on the bandwagon of the artificial difficulty discussion. He wasn't the motherfucker that brought that up. Everyone was like, oh, is this game too hard? And it was because, like, yeah, it got popular and everybody wanted to play it, and some people couldn't get past the fucking tutorial. And we're like, what kind of fucking game is this? Not a game for everybody, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. No, I agree with you, man. By the way, can we, because you know how, you know, the meme is, you know, this is the Dark Souls of whatever. Can we exchange that for Cuphead now? Because Cuphead is way fucking harder than Dark Souls.
Cuphead is way harder.
Dark Souls is fair. Cuphead will fuck you up just because, you know?
Well, I don't think, you know, I know everybody says the Dark Souls of video games. I personally don't throw that around. I've heard a lot of people also, when they're talking about platformers or anything old school, comparing it to Super Meat Boy.
There you go.
No, this is Mega Man.
Yeah, this, like, is Mega Man brutal, bro. This is brutal.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think platform difficulty is a little bit different than Dark Souls difficulty, in that the mechanics are so very different that a lot of people actually, if they're talking about, like, a God of War game being really hard, like, sure, it's a third person action game. I can see people comparing it to Dark Souls, even if none of the mechanics are anywhere near the same. Yeah, I get it. But most of the time, I think, yeah, people would refer to shit as, you know, the Super Meat Boy or the Mega Man or, you know, of video games. And I think that this will probably be, yeah, anytime you have a really tough platformer or side-scroller, people will talk about Cuphead in reference to it for a while. It'll probably be infamous. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I got into Dark Souls because I heard it was so pants-shittingly difficult that most people didn't actually play it and beat it. I heard there's a game out there that is so punishingly hard, that it is so pants-crappingly intimidating, that most people put about 2 hours in and give the fuck up. And I was like, challenge accepted. And it was hard. It was. I was fucking floored by how hard it was. But I got my cocoon and I got good. And I came out the other side, and I was like, that was a really refreshing experience. Y'all should try that. And a lot of you did. A lot of you guys play Bloodborne, and a lot of you get, yeah, it's hard, but then you get better, and it's rewarding. And that's a mechanic. That's a thing that's fucking lost on people these days. And what's that?
It's kind of a lost thing. I mean, we grew up. It's kind of a lost thing. We grew up in that sort of era, and it just all of a sudden it's just like, why can't we do that?
You know? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad Cuphead is the way it is. Listen, it takes me like an hour or two to beat a boss, but when I finally beat those motherfuckers, you can't beat that feeling that you feel when you actually finally get them, you know?
Right?
Few games do that shit, man.
Video games don't make you feel proud anymore.
Yeah, they don't. Man, when I beat the fucking, what was it, the altar beast or whatever from fucking Bloodborne, I wanted to whip my dick out and swing it around. I was so happy. You know? Shit. Like, why can't we have games that give you that feeling, man? I don't get it, you know?
Dude, why do you guys think I've been so
hooked on Dissolver? I mean, it also brings up Dissolver. A little bit of the stuff that I was having with Hip Hop Gamer.
I don't know if we want to get into that, but that was some... Actually, I told him, so I can say it. I'm like, yo, Hip Hop, man, if you want to play Cuphead with invincibility mode on during your own time, have at it, my brother. Don't stream it, please. You know, I'm not talking behind his back.
I'm going to go above and beyond that. No, he can't, because Cuphead is making a name for itself as being a Dark Souls-like game, in the sense that it is a badge of gamer honor to have beaten that game. You can't cheat your way through it and tell people that you beat Cuphead. If you do that shit in your own time, in your own house with the cheats on, and never tell anybody ever that you've beaten Cuphead, fine. But that motherfucker is going to tell people that he beat Cuphead. And that's where I got beef.
Well, yep. Yeah, like my biggest issue here, and I kind of agree with Brett. I lean more with Tony with the half and half, but now I think I just lean more towards Brett. If the developers gave you an experience to have with Cuphead, they intended the game to play like this. If you are going to go out of your way to install cheats in order to bypass the experience, and then you praise the experience for being... you're essentially giving it a false narrative and saying this is an amazing experience, but you didn't really experience it. This isn't what the game is supposed to be. This is the game you want it to be, and which is all fine and dandy, but you are not talking about the experience the developers are giving.
Yo, that, imagine going to like an art museum and going, hey, can you change the color on the Mona Lisa? I don't like that shit. Like,
exactly.
Come on, man.
Exactly.
That's the sort of thing that, and that's the way I put it to him. I was like, you know, that's like me going over and, you know, changing your work around, like taking your music and changing it around, because I you know, it's not a real representation of the actual work that was put out there. But he's, you know, he sees it in a fashion where it's like, it's the way he has fun. He wants to play it the way he wants to play, even if it means.
But then not, don't stream that. I mean, that means that all he had to do is stand in front of the bosses and just hit them. You know what I mean? There's no strategy.
It's like not being able to get past the first minute of Stairway to Heaven and then remixing it and saying it's a masterpiece.
Oh, man.
Dude, this is the problem is the consequence of this is literally the analog to, like, if I'm a coke addict, flying to Colombia and talking the drug dealer slowly into watering my supply down more and more. I am an adrenaline junkie. One of the reasons I keep playing things like Absolver and Dark Souls is because it's one of the few games where, like, you ever have a match or a game so tense and so crazy that, like, your palms are sweating and you're shaking by the time that you put the controller down?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Oh, man. Like, those, like, every three matches in Absolver, I have to go take, like, a fucking smoke break. I was like, woo! Like, my hands are too sweaty to hold the controller. I'm all fucking shaking. I'm like, damn, that was close. Woo! Yeah. Woo, I need a minute, damn. Fuck, woo!
By the way, can we trademark pants-shittingly difficult? That is fucking amazing. Oh, man. I don't think we have anything more to say about Cuphead. It's like, yo, guys.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, we do.
Oh, what's
the
up?
The game is amazing, man.
Oh, let's talk about that before all this drama. I fucking love Cuphead is kicking my ass all day every day. I fucking love it. It is so great, so imaginative, so crazy. I love it. I love everything about it, man.
It's not on PlayStation, is it?
Brett,
no.
Steam, brother, get it on Steam. Get it on Steam.
No, that's just what I'm saying. Like, it's not on, it's only PC and Xbox, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's right. But the reason I'm saying Steam is because don't get that shit on Windows 10. I've been hearing some shit about that version, you know? Yeah, but Brett, if you like Challenge Bro, get yourself fucking Cuphead. That game is, that's pants-shittingly difficult, you know?
Yo, man, the game.
Go ahead, Carlos. Go ahead.
Okay. The game, first of all, it's freaking beautiful.
Yes.
Like, the art style is amazing. The animation is amazing. The fact that all of it is hand-drawn. I think for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part, it's mostly hand drawn. I think some of the bosses, some of the spinny shit might be CG. They said this already, but
nope.
For the most part, it's hand drawn. You know,
if they're using any CG, they probably traced over.
Yeah, they said the backgrounds are digital and shit like that. But yeah, the characters are all hand drawn. You don't see that nowadays, really. You know, very rare.
Yo, man, the mechanics are rock solid. You never expect a mechanic to fail you. Like, if you make a mistake, you made a mistake. Like, it's not something wrong with the mechanics. And, yo, man, those bosses can go to freaking hell.
Yo, I was fighting this fucking clown boss yesterday for like an hour. It's like, yo, come on, son. You know, I beat him. I beat that fucking, I call her Marie Antoinette because I'm like, okay, she chops her head off and she's in a cake house. That's Marie Antoinette.
She took me forever.
Oh my god! And right now, oh my god! Again, I love the game, but those aerial boss fights, not a fan of those. And two of the bosses that I have next are those specifically. I'm like, oh god, a fucking genie and a bird, you know? And then another one's a fucking dragon. This is crazy, man. You know? The only thing I could think of, one thing that I thought of, like, I'm like, I'm glad this isn't like 100% authentic to the 1930s, because if it was, you would probably see a lot of racist shit in there, you know, like caricatures of black and Chinese people and shit. Like, I'm glad they didn't toss that in there, you know? And Manny, didn't you say the music was also like actually like played for real?
Yeah, they actually hired a jazz band to do all the music.
Amazing.
They really went all in on it to make it really feel like an authentic 1930s or maybe 1920s sort of film.
Yeah, they went all out, man. The game is just like, it really is a work of art, and it's also a statement too. I fucking love it, you know? It's great.
Well, I mean, it means that you know, that you can, you know, I feel like, you know, sometimes you need those sorts of games to kind of remind people of the things that they can do within the two-dimensional environment.
Yeah,
they don't need to make a game that looks like, you don't need to make a game that looks like an old school 16-bit game. You can actually do something that really you know, challenges the type of that type of game. You know what I mean?
I feel that we gave up on that with the 32-bit era, because you notice that 2D games were going in that direction, and then we just kind of stopped for the most part. So I'm like, this game to me is what we wanted out of 2D games back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, you would think that it was like, it almost feels like the general progression of what 2D games were going to eventually become.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like they did have a, you know, there was a Mickey Mouse game that was had hand animation in it, you know?
Yeah.
There were a bunch of Disney games that had real hand animation in it. So it's like, what is that to the nth level? Well, that's Cuphead.
Yo, man, Microsoft, like, we've been wanting a console exclusive to show to roll up this year, and we finally got a good one, man. So support this game if you have an Xbox, because this game deserves all the praise.
Yes, it's gotten. please support it, man. It's fucking awesome, you know? All right, anybody else want to say anything else about Cuphead before we move on? Brett, did you have something to say? Because I heard you going, eh.
No.
All right. Actually, no, but it was when I said you need to get the game, which you do. This is fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, that was just, I need to figure out where my Steam controller is.
Okay, fair enough.
It's only local play, right? It doesn't have co-op.
That's the biggest fucking flaw of this game. It's only co-op local. I'm like, come on. Like, that's great, but can we get online, too? Not all of us, you know, can have people coming over, you know? I heard the developer said they're...
Co-op is good.
The developer said they're working on that, you know?
Well, they have SurePlay.
Yo, they made this game for Brett.
they did make it for Brett. Have Colby come over, Brett. You guys will go crazy.
Wait, why?
Because you love couch co-op. Mughead? You know?
Wait. There's no online co-op, but there's couch co-op.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
See, I knew it.
I like the feeling of that.
Yeah, yeah, man. Get Colby or what's the other dude you game with?
Morgan. Game with Erica. Fuck, like anybody I meet that will play video games, I'm like, fuck, man, come on over, hang out, play some fidget games.
Yeah, play some Cuphead with another fidget person. That'll be interesting. Oh, man. All right, let's move on here. I just got wind of this today, some bullshit, and I think, you know, one or two of you guys watched the whole video, so you could expand on it, because I only read the cliff notes. Okay, so Liam Robinson, who's he's pretty much like an insider, right? He breaks a lot of shit. Usually he breaks Nintendo stuff, but he broke some Capcom shit today. Basically, it was about Marvel's Capcom Infinite, and man, this shit explains a lot. So basically, he's saying that the game's budget was half of Street Fighter V's DLC. Not that half of Street
Whoa.
Fighter
V.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
The character
for a full game?
Yep. Yeah. The character models are mostly rehashes of other games. Capcom apparently didn't give a fuck about what the game looked like until those Chun-Li memes started coming out. And the best part of all, the DLC characters that are coming now, the ones that cost $8 each, they were in the original game and they got cut.
Oh, that's the nightmare that everyone keeps talking about, right? That these DLCs are just shit that was ready in the game.
So, yeah, what do you think about this shit, man?
I'll sum it up with one phrase. This is Capcom. This is what they do.
Going downhill, man. It's sad.
You know, but this explains so much. I'm like, that's why the game came out again. But my thing is like, yo, if you're going to rush the product, don't put it out there, you know? It's like, why are you doing that?
It's publicly traded, right? It's a public company?
I believe so.
Well, yeah.
Don't
yeah,
pull me on that, I, you know, but I think...
They have no choice. They have to.
But yeah, who did see the whole video, by the way?
Well, I didn't.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Again, I didn't have time for that. That shit is fucking crazy. It explains a lot, though, you know? Sad situation, because, again, mechanically, it's a solid fighting game. Aesthetically, it's not a solid fighting game, though. It's like, come on, man. And Marvel's Capcom games were known for looking good, you know?
And it's one of the heavy hitters.
Capcom games in general look
good. Capcom games in general, yeah.
I mean, this is one of the heavy hitters. I mean, how much hype was put behind Marvel vs. Capcom 3? It's like, oh, we're finally getting a Marvel vs. Capcom game again.
Yeah.
And there's so much hype for that game. The game didn't really deliver as much. Now we get this with people not buying this game. It's crazy. Like,
yeah, the game bombed. Right. The game bombed hard, you know?
To be honest, if you're going to be, Capcom reused sprites before from other games, right? They, you know, and they've I mean, I don't mind them reusing models from the previous one, but at the same time, it's like, how come all the other characters aren't in this game? Like, they're missing like a bunch of Capcom guys.
Let me say the X-Men.
No, the
So there's that, but yeah, the art, the design looked cheap, looked wonky. We were complaining about that from E3.
Yeah.
I was like, would Rob Liefeld design these kind
of shit. Damn.
I mean, you could do better than that. Like,
then you see all the concept art for that game, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, the concept art is nuts. You know, it's so good looking.
For what game are we talking about?
Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. You know, we basically a report just release a bunch of nonsense about this game. About how the budget was less than half of Street Fighter V's DLC. How the characters that are coming out now that cost $8 each are fucking they were cut from the game. They're reusing assets. How Capcom didn't give a fuck about how the game looked until people started making memes about it. It's crazy, man.
Hasn't Capcom been butt-fucking Street Fighter fans for like a decade now?
Yes.
If you think of all those Ultras and stuff they kept making.
People always talk about the classic Capcom, but if you think about it, a lot of those games are just rehashes of themselves. Like, come on, how many Street Fighter 2s have they made? You know, how many versions of, you know, even the Marvel vs. Capcom series on its own is a rehash of itself.
Well, I agree with that. This is the first and it's the first time Capcom's just released a subpar fighting game. Initially, twice, right? Street Fighter V was subpar when it launched. This is even worse. Like, so I know they rehashed stuff, but at least the initial one was good, right? The initial one was pretty quality, pretty complete.
Yeah, it was like Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Yeah.
You know, now they're just, I would say lazy, but I kind of want more transparency from Capcom, because this reeks of them having budget problems, like money, you know, or lacking money. And I'm wondering now if that financial report that I looked at before is even accurate. So I'm seriously starting to question it now, looking at the quality of this game, and now what Tony said, where they didn't even have half the budget. How could you not give it the budget, at least like 80% of the budget of Street Fighter V? I'm talking the main game, not the DLC, right? So this is a huge problem. Also, the Resident Evil 7 DLC that was supposed to come out in spring, April, right, is now coming out in late December for that game. So something's wrong. They either have a resource problem, something.
I feel like they might be cutting corners to save on games. To maximize the profit, obviously.
And think about this: Street Fighter V was a console exclusive game, which means Sony probably put in some money for that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Where's this money? I don't get it. It's like, how is the budget of a full game just half of a DLC's budget? That blows my fucking mind. Shit. I don't know what else to say about that other than Capcom, man. And again, I love Capcom, but shit. Man.
Here's the thing. For as much love as you have for Capcom, they've really done some really screwy things.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Let's talk about the DLC for a second. Because remember how much heat they got when they were selling you characters for Marvel's Capcom in the last one, 3, for $5 each. Now they're $8 each? What the fuck?
Tony, let me ask you, though.
What's up?
I know you say you love Capcom, but to be contrarian here, do you? Do you really?
Hell yeah, dude.
No, I mean, think about the question. Think about it. And don't answer based on nostalgia, based on the company that you've been dealing with for the last 10 to 15 years. Do you love Capcom, really?
That's a hard question to answer, actually, because you specifically said the company I've been dealing with.
Yeah, you can't. We talk all the time. Look, Nintendo doesn't get a pass on nostalgia. Why should Capcom?
Yeah. No, that's fair point. Yeah, last 15 years? I mean, don't get me wrong. Street Fighter, we judged
Nintendo on the last, what, two generations?
Yeah.
So let's judge Capcom on the same standards.
Capcom's been fucking up. No, and I can't defend that. They've been fucking up. You know, there's some good things here and there, like Resident Evil 7, but largely they've been fucking up. They fucked up Street Fighter 5. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, 7 months after 3 just comes out. Now this shit? Resident Evil Revelations 2?
We love classic Capcom. We don't love Capcom anymore.
That's like the dudes. I'm glad you said that, because that's like the dudes that are like, I hope Sega makes another Dreamcast. Do you want modern Sega to do a Dreamcast? Really?
I don't know about that.
No, you don't.
No, I want the guys who worked on the Dreamcast to make another system. You're like, oh, I've got some bad news for you, buddy. Well, maybe good news. A lot of them went to Xbox.
Man, it's fucking upsetting because, again, how much you're right. Most of I love is because of the past. You know, I spent most of my 90s playing nothing but Capcom games. But, shit. Come on, Street Fighter V and Marvel's Capcom Infinite back-to-back fuck-ups. Come on, man. Some bullshit, you know?
And the last Resident Evil and the last Devil May Cry were games that redeemed shitty games beforehand.
that's right. But even Devil May Cry 4, Resident Evil 6, god damn.
Both of those franchises have, like, their KDR is like 0.6.
Oh, shit.
Like, maybe for every 3 games you release, one of them is decent.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe every third generation your game doesn't suck.
By the way, speaking about a fighting game, we're actually excited about it. So I just got sent this tweet that Bandai Namco put out. This is for Dragon Ball Z Fighters. Dragon Ball's at the bottom of the screen. What happens after collecting all 7? Stay tuned for more info. Why are you teasing me, man? And by the way, I got to give Bandai Namco props. They are the biggest fucking trolls. They released the demo for Dragon Ball Z Fighters on the same weekend reviewers are writing their review for Marvel's Capcom Infinite. It's fucking hilarious.
They're probably high-fiving each other with this news.
Yeah, because when Marvel's Capcom, when Dragon Ball was announced, what did people compare it to? Marvel's Capcom Infinite. It's like, hey, this is the actual tag game we want, you know? That shit was crazy.
Dude, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
At this point? I know I would be. I'd be like, we're releasing on the same fucking day now if we can. Like, sure, let's get everybody talking about our game in direct comparison to the steaming pile of shit that Capcom just left on the rug.
Dude, I'm going to tell you a quick insider story. Me and my other journalist friends who are also big fighting game fans, that weekend we were like, son, we got to write this review, but we just want to play Dragon Ball right now. Dragon Ball, that's the game you want. That game is so fucking good, you know? And Bandai Namco, they know what they have on their hands, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Really, I can't wait. Man, I think about that game a lot,
works.
Man.
That's what they got.
Exactly,
if
man.
If you think about it, Arc System Works is making 2 tag games.
They're crazy.
They got that other tag game from Blaze Blue, and then they got that one.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on here.
I got games to go.
Yeah. Right. Just some quick things here. interesting stuff. So, Mr. Andrew House, Manny's buddy, he is leaving.
Why is he my buddy?
Hey, you guys were pretty chummy during E3, man.
He was kind of talking to us in general. We talked about this a little.
Yeah, yeah. We told people the story. So yeah, he's leaving Sony after 27 years. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it was the most like casual I've ever seen any executive. Obviously, he had a little bit of something in him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and he after that he just taps me on the back. He's like, you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm like, all right.
But yeah, so my man, after
what it's like to be an executive.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, he's leaving Sony after 27 years, and he's going to be, I forgot the guy's name, but he's being replaced at, you know, and stuff. Pretty crazy, almost 30 years of his life, you know, and he was there through all of it, even before PlayStation was even announced, the original PlayStation, you know.
I'm going to say this. I'm not going to say exactly what he was talking about, but he did touch on something very interesting at the time. Where, you know, just dealing with different type of people and different types of, you know, markets. And I feel like I think that's probably he's gotten tired of the grind. And I feel like that's part of the reason why he's kind of said, you know what, I think it's a good time for me to step down.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good theory. I mean, well, obviously we can't go in depth, but I think the theory you pose, you might be onto something there, man.
I just think that he's, like, you know, I can't imagine running a company, you know, like, at least, you know, doing that sort of, like, you know, multicultural, multi-country sort of company and not be tired at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's got to wear on you, you know, eventually, you know. Dealing with crazy Japanese executives and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
But it must be, you know, I do find it a little, it's interesting, though. Like, in this year, like, past few years alone, we've kind of lost quite a bit of Sony executive guys.
Yeah, Jack Trent left, you know.
But they were all like them almost. Yeah. I mean, I feel like they've been there forever. It's not like people coming and going, you know?
Yeah. You know, you're right about that.
Jack Trent left. This guy, the guy who's was in charge of third party relations, who's the, you know, the president of the guys who do Killer Instinct. I can't remember the dude's name. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he left pretty recently, so it's interesting that a lot of these guys are kind of going out. But yeah. Hopefully, you know, they continue to do what they do. I like Riku's theory on it.
Yeah.
The fact that Andrew House said there was no Vita 2 coming out. So he just said, I'm out. So they got rid of him.
Yeah, because basically Andrew House, a couple weeks ago, we talked about this, how he said that there is no Vita 2. And Riku was like, oh, man, they fired him because he said that shit. Riku's crazy, man. You know? By the way, somebody on Twitter was telling me, he's like, oh, yeah, did you hear Kaz Harai is going to retire early next year? No, it's the fake Kaz Harai. He's going to retire next year. Get that shit straight, man. Kind of sucks that he is retiring because that guy's funny, but, you know, what are you going to do? But, yeah, I don't know if we have anything more to say about Andrew House. You know, just we wish him luck with whatever he's going to be doing next, you know?
Imagine he ends up at Kojima Productions, too.
That'd be hilarious, yeah. Remember that meme? Like, get you somebody that looks at you the way Andrew House looks like Hideo Kojima. That shit was funny, man. All right, let's move on here to the next one. This is pretty interesting. Kind of not surprising, though. So PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds might be coming to the PS4.
Those are fighting words right there.
That's fighting words. But Microsoft, they're trying to extend that exclusivity deal. It's pretty interesting. Uh-oh. But my thing is, didn't Phil Spencer just a couple months ago say third-party exclusivity deals are bad? What happened?
Well, except when they're in your favor.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That's what he left out.
But yeah, let's start with the first one. What do you guys think about the prospect of PUB being on PS4? Go ahead, Adam. You go first, man.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
Ever?
And all like thing. No, not ever, but I mean... People like, oh, they said extinction and this whole thing. That was something that they talked about with Respawn when Titanfall was the same thing. Remember when people at Respawn was like, well, we're not sure. They were dancing around the whole thing. Is this exclusive? Is it not exclusive? You know what I mean? And from what they said, it was because of that at one part that it could have been. It's all based off of time exclusivity and that they had that option to extend. And as they decided not to extend it, and next you know, you have part two everywhere, so that's why it's like I'm not surprised. I think it's really based off of just how much money it makes. If people cross over from PC and jump into the Xbox world when it comes to this, then of course that shit's going to get extended. That's in the clause in the contract.
Yeah.
If they don't see the sales numbers, then why bother?
Yeah, just to clarify, so the reason this is coming out right now is because the founder of Blue Hole Entertainment – I'm sorry, I'm not going to bother trying to pronounce this man's name. I'm not going to try to butcher it. But he said he has been talking to Sony. But that's all it is right now. But it's just talks. Nothing may come out of it. But he has been talking to Sony about bringing the game over to PS4. So that's what this is based on. It's not really like a report or rumor. The founder rumor said, yep, I've been talking to Sony. You know, we'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting. But... you know, I think it'll, you know, again, you know, if you get the game on PS4, that's great. I'm still not interested personally, but that's great because the game's, you know, doing gangbusters as we've reported a bunch of times. But the thing, again, about Microsoft is interesting. It's like you guys flat out said that you think third party exclusivity deals are bad for the industry. Yet here you go trying to extend this one. What do you guys think about that shit?
Well, it's not the first time
one of these executives has flip-flopped on things like this. It's like, yeah, if it goes to their favor, they're obviously going to support it. It's like, what else are they going to do? I mean, it's smart. They should try to extend the exclusivity with this game because apparently a lot of people like this game. Hopefully it'll sell well for them.
This is interesting. I'm reading this right now. So apparently the exclusivity deal is only for 3 months.
Oh, wow. Was that short?
Yeah. So, yeah.
What game are we talking about now?
Damn, Brad. we're talking about
Player Unknown Battlegrounds.
Yeah, Player Unknown Battlegrounds coming to PS4. The
oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you guys cut out. Okay. Are we recording right now?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's why my microphone's been going in and I've been walking across because the fucking on-air thing isn't usually on. I've been just talking to these jackasses like I've been off-air. So.
Yeah, no,
proof positive that this is exactly how we are off-air when we're on-air because I don't even know the fucking difference until somebody points it out to me.
That's
so.
Hilarious. So, whoa. So this whole time you thought we were off-air?
Yeah.
See, people, we're not faking it. This is the real deal, man. Yeah, because, Brent, because in this little room right here, yes, it does say off air, but if you go over to YouTube, you'll see that we're very much on air, you know?
Okay, yeah. See, no, I just got caught off guard. So here I am walking through places where my mic's cut. If I would have thought like we were actually fucking recording this shit. Please. My bad. Yeah, we're talking about pub still. Cool.
Please tell me you cut your mic out on purpose right there because that was brilliant.
No, I did not.
Brad, you literally said, oh, yeah, it's like my mic keeps. So, yeah, basically. Perfect. Okay, so, you know, just to refresh you, the CEO of the game that makes Pub has been in talks. This is not a rumor. He said it. I have been in talks with Sony about bringing the game over. It's just talks right now, but who knows? And the exclusivity, as I've read, the exclusivity deal is for 3 months, apparently, you know?
That's, I mean, that game has been, especially with the heat that game is, the heat in a good way, like, it's been getting a lot of attention for a while. There's a lot of people, I mean, I'm surprised to see that short of an exclusivity deal on so popular a game. Usually they kind of wait until something lags in sales and popularity before that shit happens.
Yeah. And then what do you think about the fact that Microsoft is trying to extend the exclusivity deal after they said third-party exclusivity deals are bad for the industry?
I think Microsoft is and has always been a hypocritical company. But then again, a company is, despite what the law says, it's not a person. It's this weird amalgamation homunculi-looking thing with a million fucking heads all saying different goddamn things. I think as an industry, or fuck it, the corporations in this industry need to be held more accountable for what people said. And I know gamers, we're really good for holding people's feet to the fire for saying shit, and I think we need to continue doing this. But like, let's be honest, like anytime either Microsoft or Nintendo says something, you can pretty well not put any real stock in it. And Sony's better, but still it's about 50-50. A lot of times Sony will like go through with something technically and it's kind of broken and they never really support it afterwards, but they did the thing that they said they were going to do. So that's not a whole lot better. So it's kind of a weird standard or industry wide thing, but yes, I mean, nobody's going to hear that me trying to take the claws out of that. All they're going to hear me say is that Microsoft is a hypocritical company. So whatever.
Yeah, of course. By the way, big shout out to the chat room right now. We're over here talking about games. These motherfuckers are talking, including Carlos, are talking about anime.
Nice. Yeah, man.
I love it.
Never a bad time to talk about anime.
Yeah. I always love that. It's like you guys, like, they're kind of just having us in the background while they're having their own conversation. That's fucking awesome. But yeah, you know, hey, if Pub comes, cool. I'm still not interested, so whatever. All right, and the last thing here, this is kind of interesting, maybe to you, Brett. So they're gonna release an updated SKU of the PlayStation VR. It's gonna have like more streamlined, you know, aesthetics or whatever. It's gonna cost the same price, but I guess, you know.
You know, I'm kind of glad this has been brought up.
Yeah,
my news feed has been fucking exploding with VR stuff lately, and I'll be honest, I'm surprised. Like I've thrown my hat in with VR, and I still definitely believe in it, but the amount of moves going on behind the curtains, people acquiring things, people launching things. I think even Microsoft said that they're getting ready to they're hip deep in R&D for a standalone headset of their own.
Like, yeah. Let's talk about that. So basically, Samsung is creating a peripheral for Microsoft called the Odyssey. It's not HoloLens. It's an actual thing you put on your head, and they said it's comparable to the Oculus Rift and stuff. So even Microsoft is getting into this stuff. They're going to release a Halo experience called Halo Recruit, where you get to like experience the world of Halo, but you don't actually go around shooting. But hey,
and
man,
Oculus is releasing games, like a lot of them, and they're not little pocket-sized things. I wish more of these experiences would bleed over into Sony, and my hope is that the same way indie games eventually bleed over there, that we'll start to see more games. But I mean, the library isn't small. What we really need to see is big developers bringing some attention to these things. And Bethesda did that this E3. Like, believe it or not, and this sounds weird coming out of my mouth, I'm surprised by how much the industry and just the tech industry in general is getting behind VR. I'm more convinced than I've ever been that this is going to be a thing. The steam may be rolling on it slowly, but everybody who is building things behind the scenes and everybody who's making these big deals and company-wide acquisitions and things like that, like, there's a lot of shit going on in the realm of VR, more so than there has been in years. It's only getting bigger, which leads me to believe that there's going to be a bigger, production that comes from it a few years down the pipeline. So I mean, somebody feel free to challenge me on this one, but like
my only question to you is because you're talking about VR as a whole or for gaming? Because as a whole, I completely agree with you. VR is not going anywhere. That thing has so many applications and so many fields. With gaming, I'm still skeptical about it. VR is not going anywhere. Yeah,
gaming is going. Here's the thing: even if VR becomes a household thing, gaming will eventually follow suit. All that says is that it is a practical medium that we're not experienced enough to create games in yet. And that would be a pill I'd be more willing to swallow than, VR is a dead thing. They're still trying to figure out how to make people not vomit in VR. And they're doing weird teleporting things. Like, I don't understand, because I played Rigs just fine. Like, I could turn one direction and fly through the air another direction, but I get that it's not that way for everybody. And I've showed VR to quite a few people, and some of them have gotten sick after, after like 30 minutes. They're like, I mean, I can't do this anymore. So I don't really know where we're going from here, I guess, is what I'm saying.
The issue with Rigs is when you play the game, you're like thinking to yourself, yo, the Switch can bust out a game that looks way better than this.
Oh, like, yeah, but I know, horrible mode. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm expecting that from most VR. And maybe that's the thing, like, a lot of people, and I've said this for, I'm pretty sure, a few years, there's going to be a huge visual degradation when it comes to VR, because it is so much harder to render than a regular game. And so we're gonna start this nuclear arms race of graphical fidelity again. But honestly, I don't really – I see that as a better use of our time than chasing post-4K resolution. Because to do VR right, you have to have insanely high frame rates. So already the frame rate issue is thrown out the window. And then you start building back up more and more fidelity in games, making them look prettier and prettier. I think that eventually – that is going to become a thing that happens, because as of right now, both of the systems damn near identical. Even the pro versions or the elite versions of the console, whatever the fuck you want to call them, like, they're not that much different. There's a difference between a console and a very high end PC, I'll grant you, but nowhere is that as noticeable as in Gears, as Carlos said, like, or in Rigs, as Carlos said, like,
Rigs.
VR games are fucking rough to look at sometimes. But at the same time, there's this weird level of immersion that comes from just being able to move and interact in the environment. Like, the weird blocky textures, like, I've seen VR games played in what could look like completely 8-bit environments, and it's still one of those, like, this still somehow feels kind of weird and real. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just, if you walked into a room with funny wallpaper, but you still got to move around and look around fine, like, it feels more real. So
I'll give VR this. It's a more viable platform than 3D ever was.
That's a fact.
And motion controls.
Yeah, exactly. Quick thing. The Samsung Odyssey has a higher resolution than some of the other headsets out there, and it supports HDR. So graphics are getting better on these things, man.
The real test for these devices are when they look so good they do actually immerse you. Like, sometimes the immersion, for example, PSVR, you get out of the immersion when you see the pixels. It's like you see the individual pixels there, and you're like, oh, it kind of throws me off.
I don't see tessellation.
Dude, I absolutely agree. And that's the thing that I'm saying. Like, it's weird when you tear away all of the graphical fidelity and make something look like you're looking through a screen door, but then have this other thing that I've never felt, this weird X factor that gets laid in, and even lacking the good visuals, this X factor somehow makes me feel like I'm there, even though, like, yeah, I'm sure it's my brain just playing a trick on me. I'm not really forgetting that I'm wearing a headset, but it just, even crappy graphics and, like, weird mechanics, like, there's another thing there that makes me feel immersed in the game. So when you can actually marry both of those things, that's when we'll get something that will be, like, holy shit, mind-blowing. You know, that'll be the experience that really makes people feel like, oh, well, this is the new standard for fucking gaming right here. That shit's fucking 15 years off, probably. It's not for everybody, but I am surprised and I am impressed by how much people are fucking leaning into VR.
I mean, for me, end goal is always Sword Art Online. That's what I wish, like, VR would be.
You know, I think that there's a thing that needs to happen with VR, and I think that's a little bit of training your audience. And the best I can akin it to would be either A, how movies have gotten more sophisticated as audiences have gotten more used to the idea of, like, jump edits. Like, back in the day, you couldn't edit from, you know, point A to point B too rapidly, much less do a bunch of these jump cuts because it would confuse audiences. My mom's actually one of those people. She didn't grow up watching a whole lot of movies and has gone to less and less movies as we've gotten older. And so, like, whenever we go to the movies, maybe once a year she'll go. But she has problems actually following visually what happens because her brain isn't really trained to do that. I think I found something similar when introducing people to D&D. Tony, you were there. Yeah. I have to train people how to be like, this isn't a video game. Stop thinking like it's a video game.
Yep. Rachel and I were having that problem. You know, we're playing that shit like a video game. It's like, no, that's not how you play this thing, man.
So I don't think you're ever going to have a Devil May Cry experience in VR. I don't think you're going to have a Michael Bay experience in VR because those experiences are meant to overwhelm what is an underwhelming medium. They go over the top so that it transmits because you're just sitting there staring at a fucking screen. I think there is a huge difference between getting in a fight in a video game and getting in a fight in real life. Getting in a fight in real life is fucking disorienting and hectic and chaotic. Getting into a fight in a video game, not quite the same. So I think that if you try and run into a video game and play like fucking Devil May Cry in first person, you're just going to turn into a human missile of projectile vomit. It's just, there's no way around that. But maybe there's a different kind of fighting game that's more slow and more like the actual reality that you're trying to replicate, that when you can put someone in a more immersive environment, what was a kind of boring game now becomes fun because you're in a VR environment, like Job Simulator, you know, or just even shooting a gun. Like, you're no longer aiming a reticle, you're actually pointing a gun, and that makes a shooter a whole different experience. So I think there's kind of got to be a, you know, put the frog in the pot and then turn it on and slowly heat it up. There's, you try and throw a shooter at somebody right now that doesn't have a reticle, and people are not going to enjoy it because they don't know how to shoot. Nobody actually knows how to shoot. Well, very few people actually know how to shoot a gun. They just know how to point at something and click a button. So I don't think you're going to immediately get a whole bunch of crossover or a jump over. I just think, you know, we'll get there. Not for a while, but like I said, it's all I really want to see in the next generation would be games like Wolfenstein that I could plug my VR headset into and have my camera directed to my head instead of with the left thumbstick. That's all I really want. That's all I want. And then
That's what I really want. Cool, yeah, man.
That shit happens, I consider it integrated. I'm good. You do whatever the fuck you want from there on out.
All right, cool, man. All right, so that's going to do it for us again. We're going to keep it a little short tonight because we got shit going on. So, Manny, man.
We need some sleep.
Plug your shit, man. Where can people find you, man?
Well, I'm going to be at New York Comic Con this year. Sorry if my voice sounds a little hoarse. I'm getting a little sick here. But
uh-oh.
I'm going to be at New York Comic Con. Booth F7. I'm going to have, you've already probably seen a couple of shots. Tony posted a little photo he took at my table while I was setting up my stuff. And yeah, you know, come by, you know, you don't need to buy anything. Just come by and say hello. Say what's up. You know, Tony might be, you know, being that the artist alley is a lot closer to the convention, so you'll probably see Tony. So, you know, all you guys come by and say what's up.
Yeah, because in the last,
also you don't have to buy something, but buy something.
you know, hey, Manny has a lot of good things. Just saying, man, help a brother out. All right.
here's the thing. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, have Manny draw you something. It's actually pretty fun. Just to sit and like whip out a little fucking drawing. You know, it's what's $5-$10, and it's cool. Like, even if you can't afford it, like, come by, say hi. I'm sure he'd love to see you. But like, if you get the chance, like, make him draw something because it's cool, and make him work for that shit.
Don't worry, Manny, if you won't sell yourself, we will. You know, so yeah, I'll be around. Like, I probably won't be around as much as I normally would because I got a lot of shit to write, but I'll be there all days, usually after noon, after 12, because most of my appointments like kind of landed in the morning, which is good. And again, I told this to a lot of people, New York Comic Con, like, even though like I'd like E3 more, I still enjoy New York Comic Con the most because I don't have to worry about a flight. I don't have to worry about hotels. And since it's a Comic Con thing, which is mostly
trains. Don't worry about the train.
Yeah. You know, exactly. But I don't have to do too much work. I'm just being honest because I cover video game shit. Not a lot of video games at Comic Con. So I end my days pretty early, so I get to dick around. Although I will say this, even though I'm glad that Artist Alley is now more easily accessible, I'm also scared about that because Artist Alley, I kind of try to avoid because I spent a lot of money at Artist Alley, man. Because not only do I see cool shit, but I also like to support the little guys. The guys that people don't want to talk about, you know? So it's good. So also, and I just made this change right now, so I hope you guys, you know, be okay with it, both the audience and you guys here on the show. We're going to have Throw Down Your Questions 153 on Monday night. That way Manny and I could both be on it because I need to go to this fucking party that's going on Sunday. Okay, it was a Mortal Kombat party. I'm already going. Apparently, it's being hosted by Hip Hop Gamer. I'm not missing this shit.
Whoa.
Yeah, Manny, show up. It's at Barcade, man. This is going to be bananas. So
I don't know. I might want to just turn into a pumpkin after all.
Yeah, I want to see people challenge Hip Hop Gamer to Mortal Kombat. See if he can beat their ass. So
oh no,
no, they'll be like, yo man, no cheats now.
No. Oh man. No, so Throw Your Questions 153 on Monday night, people. Monday night. So that's gonna pretty much do it for us. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throw Down on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Be sure to follow us on Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter at Throw Down Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. And, you know, can't wait to see any of you guys who decide to drop by the table. And, you know, hope we have a good show. And see you. If you don't get to drop by my table, see you next show.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
2017 fall anime season has started. Get caught up with your animes, guys.
And get hype.
Get hyped.
Brett Murdoch.
Insert witty outro here.
And Adam Vale.
Yeah, skip all that anime stuff that Carlos just said. Go watch Ultima Lucha. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think I'm going to listen to Adam because he looks like Jesus, man.
Yo, I sent you those video clips, man. That shit was crazy.
Oh, Soundgarden, right? Is that what you're talking about, Adam?
No. The Ultima Lucha stuff.
Well, yeah, that shit, yeah, those guys are nuts. Like, what are these guys doing?
The wire and the glass and all that.
I'm still in the anime camp with Carlos.
Woo!
Yeah. All right, man. We'll see you on Monday night, people. Later.
Later, guys.
Deuces.
Peace, people.